Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the broadcast. Temptation. This is a word that has serious meaning and ramifications for anyone old enough to have realized the frailties of their human existence, especially to anyone who desires to do right, but has realized that in our own strength, we lack the power to live free from sin. Today in our guest pulpit, we're bringing you a vital message on this topic from my friend, Danny Hood. He's the Bible teacher on Message of Hope, the official radio voice of the United Pentecostal Church International. But before we roll the tape on that, let me quickly give you two important reminders. First, there is a wonderful, awesome event coming to Clarksburg in summer of 2009, and that is a creation seminar with Steve Grohman, live in person. He will be bringing his wife, Dana, and son, Paul, and their motorhome full of fossils to our city in July of 2009 and presenting a creation seminar at our church facility, Christian Apostolic Church. The dates are July 12 through 15, 2009. Let me say the dates again. July 12 through 15, 2009. Write it down, type it into your PDA, or whatever you have to do to save the dates. We're so excited about this important event on such a crucial topic. Also, don't forget that the Angel Food Ministries monthly delivery for January is still in the open phase of accepting orders for two more weeks. Your final day to order for the January 2009 delivery cycle is Sunday, January 11. Delivery will take place the Saturday of that same week on January 17. Now listen closely. We've moved our pickup on Saturday morning to an earlier time. The pickup is now 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. Again, the new pickup time will be 8:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. on Saturday, January 17, 2009. And every pickup on each month is going to be at these new earlier times. Remember, you can still order anytime between now and January 11 for the January delivery. Check out the delicious menu and fantastic prices on our website at www.cac.us.com/angelfood. Again, that's cac.us.com/angelfood. And you can access online ordering at cac.us.com/order. There are no income guidelines or restrictions. If you eat, you qualify. You can download a menu and order form and submit it in person or by mail or order online. Do it today. And now today's message in our guest pulpit, a vital message for my friend Danny Hood. The title of this message is A Walk in the Dark. Let's roll the tape.
It was no ordinary day. In fact, it wasn't day at all. It was night. The darkest kind of night. If moonbeams existed for this night, then their travel had been intercepted by low-hanging clouds. If stars were meant to be seen, then this land and this night was for the blind. Who could have known such a fierce enemy would move this way, would advance under the nebulous cloak of the night? And who is this enemy? First, I will tell you that the enemy doesn't really look like an enemy. It has no dripping blood-stained fangs. It doesn't sport horns of a monstrous nature. There are no red eyes hauntingly gazing upon you from the shadowy brush. In fact, this enemy looks like a peaceful ambassador, yet is as sly as Satan himself. In fact, this enemy showed up in the very beginning and was the serpent's closest companion in arms. But one man dared enter the foreign territory of terror. He walked behind enemy lines. For he had only known light. In fact, he was light. But for a while, he covered the eye-piercing brilliance of his essence to become a hero. And into the darkness he walked. You see, you cannot separate darkness from the night. And the darkness he called night, Genesis 1 and 5. And in the darkness, evil roams. In the darkness, good deeds are seldom found. In the dark, it's easier to hide. Serpents of deception hide there. Unclean creatures crawl undetected. Murderous intentions cling from the ceilings of pitch-black caves in men's minds like bats. And in the darkness, in the night, temptation waits. Temptation, part desire, part deception. A bridge from what you have to what you think you must have. If you can be tempted, you can be tainted. Then how shall we escape the inevitable, you may say? What hope do I have? We're not robots. We are not mechanically made with metal parts and computer chips. We don't run on electricity or fossil fuels, but blood that races through God-made veins. Oh, if we could just reach into our hearts and turn off a key, shut down the engine of thoughts and imaginations, we may be better off. But then we would be nothing but dehumanized machines, not men. If Eve's mental hardware had been incompatible with seduction software, then sin would never have been introduced to our world. But when Eve blinked at the sight of the fruit, adrenaline kicked in. There was no shut-off valve, no pre-programmed responses or resistance, no absence of emotion. She could taste. She could differentiate flavors. Therefore, she could be tempted. Temptation is a part of what defines us as human. You see, a computer is a machine that manipulates data according to a list of instructions. Integrated circuits help these machines function. Small chips embedded in the system can hold incredible amounts of information. But in the end, when the plug is pulled and the computer screen goes off, no matter how much information there is, it's still just a computer. It's still just a machine. It cannot be touched by temptation. It can only think as man controlling it thinks. I look at the rectangular plastic shell of my desktop computer. Within are seven major components. The heart of the computer is the motherboard. Every part of the computer connects it in some way. Yet, this heart could never feel the anguish of divorce, the loneliness of betrayal, the agony of defeat, the breaking from rejected love. Then you have the central processing unit, which runs the software and processes the data desired. It's the brain of the unit. Yet this brain cannot stimulate tears when in severe pain. It cannot think imaginatively on its own. Then you have the random access memory, or what we know as RAM, which sits on the motherboard. It holds the data that someone's working on at the moment. It determines the speed with which you retrieve and process information. But it cannot be compared to the lightning speed with which your mind can go from highlights of success to depressing moments. How fast did you descend from a smile to a frown just today? How quick did good news become bad? How speedy was a gift given by a friend and something precious taken away by an enemy? How hastily did the sunny skies of a good relationship become the curdling storm of a tempestuous breakup? And those kinds of random access memory can cause your mind to crash like an overwhelmed, virus-stricken computer. But you see, don't fret. You're human. Humans feel. Humans fall. Humans need forgiveness. Then you have the video card that creates the images that appear on your computer monitor. You could say it's the eyes and imagination of the computer. Yet the things translated through the vision process of the computer feels nothing. It is passive. But what have your eyes seen? What hypocrisies have shut down your faith? What abuses have hidden you in a turtle shell of isolationism and despair? Next, you have the power supply, which supplies power to every aspect of the computer. A computer can burn up to $700 worth of electricity if left on for 24 hours a day throughout a year. But has it ever felt fatigue? Does it know what it means to be burned out from too much work, too many soccer games, basketball tournaments, and baseball trips? Burned out from financial burdens carried too long? No. It's just a computer, just a network of wires and electrodes. But you are human, And some days you feel more human than others. We all feel those superhuman moments when we could swing from building to building like Spider-Man, fly through the air at bullet speed like Superman, dash from meeting to meeting fully prepared like Flash Gordon. But then reality cuts our webbed rope, shreds our superhero cape, and puts our legs in molasses-like soup, and we come crashing down and lay in the rubble of setbacks, delays, and cancellations. Man, the super is gone. We're just human again. And I'm sure there are times you wish you could just flip a switch, trip the breaker, and turn off the craving. You wish you could unplug a certain passion, detach a certain emotion, pull out the modem that keeps connecting to unwanted thoughts, downloaded fears, defiling attachments, temptations pop-ups, anger's viruses. If you could control your spiritual system like a computer, feeling no pain when abused, feeling no bitterness when banished by those you've trusted, feeling no grief when traumatic situations come, certain inevitable pits would be avoided. But you're human. Those veins running through your body hold genetic self-destructive tendencies. The heart thuds against your rib cage and pumps the blood of pride. If you can be tempted, you can also be trapped. Addiction, unholy appetites, untamed cravings, chain-like emotions, wandering eyes. These are all symptoms of those who are trapped by temptation. It's more than the act of sin itself. It is the solicitation, the irresistible charm of doing that which is not right, of walking down a dangerous path, even though you know it's going to end with tombstones of regret and graves of utter disappointment, where you will be buried in guilt and shame. When the strongest man in the Bible, Samson, faced 1,000 Philistines, he slew them with the jawbone of a donkey. When he came to Gaza, which was enemy land, to show his superior prowess and to strike fear in his godless opponents, he carried away the gates of Gaza. James Fawcett and Brown's commentary says that the city of Gaza was, in those days, probably not less than 3/4 of an hour distant from where he carried the gates. To have climbed to the top of this hill, with the ponderous doors and their bolts on his shoulders, through a road of thick sand, was a feat which none but a Samson could have accomplished. And Samson did it. His bulging muscles never weakened beneath a load of brick or stone. His strength never waned in battle against his enemies. But when it came to temptation, he was rendered powerless. He became unplugged like a lamp, the vibrancy of his brawn diminished by the tameless passions he exhibited for Delilah. Her long flowing black hair, seductive eyes, pouty lips, and persuasive voice was too much for him. Yet, it was really the power of temptation that opened a door for the defeat of Samson. What weakens you today? Are you crippling your great talent by taking another sip of whiskey? Are you endangering your fast track on the job, the pathway to success, to incomparable success, and money, by meeting with that friend that knows just where to get that snort of white powder that is second to none? What temptation threatens your treasure? What temptation lurks in the shadows of your weaknesses? What door have you swung wide open again to an unhealthy feeling you thought was mastered long ago? And now the muscles of your resistance are atrophied. You can raise no arm of defense. You have become prey to the alcoholic's thirst, to the drug addict's nervous twitch for more. You have fallen in the trap of temptation, and you don't know how to get out. But I have good news. Because we are human, we can hurt and be hurt. And because He, Jesus Christ, was human, we can be helped. For He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Think about it. When God decided to step into the dark, to walk into the shadows of death and sin dominion, He could have chosen any suit of armor of His liking, a coat of angelic skin, glittering titanium-like layers of protective shields, cosmic dust of another planet, not one exposed to degrading imaginations and violent tempers. He could have robed himself in starlight, showed up on a chariot of fire, pointed a finger, and merely zapped hell and death. He could have come as an extraterrestrial with big bugging eyes and a magic finger of healing. And then Steven Spielberg would have directed a historical blockbuster instead of the fictional one. No, he chose flesh. Dirty flesh. Failing flesh. Drug-addicted flesh. Sin-friendly flesh. Muscle and sinew given to mistakes. Bone and blood bound by blame. And so he put on his robe of humanity and became a man. He could feel the heat of the sun, the cool morning breeze blowing in from the Sea of Galilee, the sandpapery texture of sawdust in his earthly father's shop. As a man, he was moved with compassion, as in the confrontations with fear-stirring lepers that scattered crowds trying to get to Christ. He stood his ground. He graciously responded to their desperate pleas for help. He loved them. He was light to them, and he healed them because he not only cared, he could feel their innermost pain and humiliation. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4:16. Can you see why he did this? To give you hope. To take your tainted life and reconstruct it. To take your failure and build a miracle out of it. To take your shame and replace it with a shout of joy, of triumph over past addictions and hidden sins. He took a walk in the dark to bring you to the light. He wasn't afraid of the big bad wolf. In fact, he paid very little attention to the prince of darkness. Amidst howling demons that could make an ordinary man cringe with goose-fleshed fear, Jesus walked in the dark. While unsightly creatures crawled about the hidden valleys of sin, Jesus walked in the dark. Where worm-infested skeletons littered the shadowy grounds of iniquity's night, Jesus walked in the dark. Where screams of trapped souls lodged among the thick brush of deception, Jesus walked in the dark. Where haunting paths of failure led to places mortal man was too afraid to attempt, Jesus walked in the dark. He walked in the direction of pitch black despair, where even the deepest and the darkest of sins nested. Yes, Jesus walked in the dark so that you could walk in the light. Matthew 4:16 says, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." Oh, maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you're sitting in the shadow of discouragement. Maybe you only know the evolution of fear in your life. Maybe you've made several attempts to be a better person, and yet you keep falling to the same temptation. You keep giving in to the same hate. You keep falling into the same pit of despair. You keep emerging out of the same caves of loneliness and rejection and shame. But listen to what it says, that those who sat in the region of shadows and death, light is sprung up. Can you hear that? Light is sprung up. Where shadows ruled, light invaded. Where darkness bound the blind, light gave sight. Where secret sins reigned, a brilliant surprise of grace exploded. Where chains of night wrapped men in humiliation, burning rays of hope dissipated those chains, and they fell like smoldering ashes. Confusion that had kept men's minds in the dark about deliverance and overcoming love melted in the effulgent revelation of mercy. Like black ink spilled on the canvas, the night kept the beauty of holiness covered. But when light sprung up, the ink was erased and the splendors of truth could be seen. Man could be free. Sin could be defeated. Hope wasn't a fairy tale word. When Jesus took a walk in the dark, he left a trail of light behind. That light can be seen in his word. That light will comfort you when all else seems lost. That light will chase the shadows of fear away. If you try to feel your way through the dark, you may at best fall into some unknown pit, trip and roll down a steep descent into a deep ravine, or end up in the lair of ferocious beasts who've not had supper yet. You cannot wander in the dark wilderness without the light and hope to survive. You cannot meander through forests of human reasoning and philosophy and hope to find the true exits to pain and self-worthlessness. But when Jesus left the world, having conquered the foe temptation, he left the light on for us. So if you can't find your way out of the wilderness of temptation, of the lonely places of addiction and earthly affections and cravings that you don't know what to do about, there is hope, because when Jesus left, he left us a trail of light. That light is his word. If you can trust the word of God, it's not like the word of men that will tell you something today and do something else tomorrow. God doesn't equivocate. He doesn't tell you one thing and mean something else. You can take him at his word. And if he wants to give you hope, if he desires to give you peace that passeth all understanding, if he reaches out to you with an arm of mercy, for the Bible said the arm of the Lord is not short, that it cannot save, then reach back. Take a hold of his hand. Take a hold of the light, the torch of truth. You can find your way out of the wilderness of temptation. You can avoid those serpents of seduction. You can tread on those scorpions of addiction. You can overcome those howling beasts of earthly bondage and blame and guilt and bitterness. And you can follow the footprints of truth. You can follow that lighted path all the way to the promise. You see, in the beginning, God said, "Let there be light." He would like to say the same thing in your dark void of loneliness, in your wandering shame caught in the wilderness, in your fear-stricken dash from predators of your past, from creatures of addiction on your trail. He wants to turn the light on so that you don't have to walk in the dark. When you come to know God in a personal way, in an Acts 2:38 way, in the light of his resurrection and power, you aren't ordinary anymore. 1 Peter 2:9 said, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." When you ask the Lord to help you out of the dark, when you get tired of stumbling in the colorless night of haunting memories and broken promises, when you get tired of hearing philosophies that sound good but they do no good, and you walk toward the light of truth, you have a more sure word of prophecy, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts." 2 Peter 1:19. And that day star is Jesus Christ.
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. Fairest of 10,000, make me a reflection of your light. Day star shine down on, let your love shine through me in the night. I see a world that's dying, wounded by the master of deceit. standing near me, shining with compassion in your eyes. Oh, Jesus, shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night.
Pray for someone hearing this now, that light will spring up in their dark world, that a flame of hope will blaze hot and bright so that they can find their way out of temptation's entanglements, out of life's chaining addictions, out of emotional blackness that knows no joy. I pray that the day star will rise in their sky, that their eyes would be open to see the power of your love, to see the deliverance available through your name, Jesus. I pray that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, the gospel, the good news, the hope of all humanity, would clearly be seen, that they could truly be free from the cold shadows of fear and rejection. Someone listening right now feels that all light has been extinguished from them because they've lost their family. They've given in to an urge for another drug or another drink. They've walked from the peaceful confines of their home and become caught up in dangerous behavior. They've listened to the wrong voices, and now they're hanging out with the wrong crowd. And I pray that you would turn the light on for them, that you would let them see the flicker of even one prayer, a prayer that could help them make the journey away from sadness and self-destruction to real peace and security. Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name.
Friend, I want to thank you today for listening to this message of hope on the Voice of Truth. And we sincerely pray that you've been blessed. If you would like to know more about this loving Savior risen from the dead and how you can have a life-changing relationship with Him, visit our website, cac.us.com. That's cac.us.com. Or if you've downloaded this broadcast from the internet and you're listening outside the Clarksburg-Bridgeport, West Virginia area, visit www.thereishopefortoday.com to locate one of our churches in your area. We will gladly begin a Bible study with you and help you begin this journey to a better life.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.